Good morning. Is this better? If you have your Bibles, please turn with me to John chapter 17. John 17, we'll be reading from 6. I have manifested your name in the men to whom you have given me out of the world. They were yours, and you gave them to me, and they have kept your word. Now they have come to know that everything you have given me is from you. For the words which you gave me I have given to them, and they received them and truly understood that I came forth from you, and they believed that you sent me. I ask on their behalf. I do not ask on behalf of the world, but of those whom you have given to me, for they are yours. And all things that are mine are yours, and yours are mine, and I have glorified them, and I have been glorified in them. I'm no longer in the world, and yet they themselves are in the world. And I come to you, Holy Father, keep them in your name, the name which you have given me, that they may be one as we are. While I was with them, I was keeping them in your name, which you have given me, and I guarded them, and not one of them perished, but the son of perdition, so that the scripture would be fulfilled. But now I come to you, and these things I speak in the world, so that they have made my joy, so that they may have my joy made full in themselves. And I have given them your word, and the world has hated them, because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. I do not ask you to take them out of the world, but to keep them from the evil one. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Sanctify them in the truth. Your word is truth. As you have sent me into the world, I also have sent them into the world. For their sakes, I sanctify myself, that they themselves may be sanctified in truth. Amen. Father, we thank you, God, for your word, Lord, and we thank you, Lord, for Jesus, Lord, who, being the great high priest, Lord, was our perfect model, Lord, of what it means, God, to be sons and daughters, God, and really to live with you, God, and for you. And so, God, this morning we just open ourselves to you, God, and we just allow your Holy Spirit to do your work in us, Lord. Help us, God, to remember, Lord, that we are here with a mission, Lord, and that we are here, Father, for you, God. And so we thank you, Lord. We love you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So John 17 is Jesus' last, I guess, one of the last times he's with his disciples at the Last Supper. And all throughout 14, 15, and 16, Jesus is really teaching his disciples what's going to happen, what's going to come, right? The world is going to hate you, but don't worry. The reason why they hate you is because of me, because you don't live like the rest of the world does. And not only are they going to hate you, they're going to persecute you. And then not only are they, but don't worry, they may persecute you, but I'm going to leave, but I'm going to give you the Holy Spirit, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And then we get to this point where Jesus now prays to the Father and asks, Lord, will you keep my disciples? Something that I know Pete Sam actually went through this not that long ago, but something that from this passage really caught my eye is the idea of we're in the world but not of the world. And I think this is a very famous phrase that we as Christians have kind of termed or kind of coined from this passage. But actually, when I think about it, I actually think that we got it wrong. And I'm going to explain to you a little bit as why that is. Because when we say we're in the world but not of the world, I think it puts the emphasis on something that is entirely incorrect. When I think of, you know, we as Christians, we're in the world but not of the world, I think that I myself as a person, as a born-again believer, as a Christian, I'm in this physical reality where I have been taught certain values and truths, where I've been taught to live a certain way. But now that I have met Christ and I've been taught other kingdom values and whatnot, I now have to try to get myself away from this world. Do you guys know what I'm trying to say? It's like I've been born into a physical reality, right? That's a truth. I can't get away from it. And what, as I was growing up, even before I knew Christ, or some of you guys knew Christ growing up, but you lived in a world where money matters and education matters, all these sort of things. And now Jesus is kind of, from our idiom and our coined term, it's like we're in the world, but we're not of it. And so I get this idea of, as a Christian, okay, I have this impossible task of being human, of being of a physical reality that we can all see and experience and smell and taste, and now I'm taught by my church that you have to get yourself out of it. Well, when I read this passage, I actually think we got it wrong. This is why. When Jesus talks about it, he actually says it entirely differently. I don't know how it happened, right? I don't know where it started. But when we took this concept that Christ spoke, we actually turned it backwards. You see, we say we are in the world but not of the world. But Jesus didn't say that at all. If you look at verse 16 and then 18, he says, I do not ask you to take them out of the world, right? They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. And then in 18, he says, as you have sent me into the world, I have also sent them into the world. So really, when we take a look at it, it's not so much that we're in but not of. Actually, what Jesus is saying is this, we're not of the world, but we are sent into it. And when you contrast the two, although it sounds very similar, there's a very large contrast between the difference of one and the other. And let me kind of prove that to you first, okay? I know it's a matter of semantics, P. Ricky. I know, you know, it's just, you're just saying it backwards. What's the big deal? Well, we know that even in research, that the way you phrase something makes a very big difference in how it means to someone. And the example I have is this. I was reading some research about rape and the idea of sexual harassment. And one of the institutes, the research institutes in California, they were trying to find a way in which they can educate the public, and especially men, on, you know, how to not, or I guess they're trying to figure out what is the best way to give public announcements to dissuade men who may have a tendency to sexually harass or even rape women, to stop them from doing it. And what they found was this. It's really interesting. They gave men a survey, and this is actually kind of scary too, and they gave them a whole bunch of questions, and all of them have to do with, you know, sexual assault, all these sort of things. And what they found was this. When they worded it this way, one way, they found that 32% of men said yes to this, and then when they worded it another way, they said like only like 10% of men said to it. And what they said was this. And the first question they said, if you lived in a consequence-free world, would you force yourself or have forcible sex with a woman? 32% of men said yes, okay? And that's a little bit scary, okay, in a consequence-free world. And then when they changed the question to say, in a consequence-free world, would you rape a girl? And now only 10%. I mean, even though 10%, I mean, that's bad enough. But the point is that you change the way you word something, and it changes the meaning. And so in this way, it's exactly the same thing. We are in the world but not of the world, versus we are not of the world but sent in. And this is the reason why there's a difference. On one side, we think we're in the world and we have to do everything in our power. We have to do everything we're capable of. We have to change ourselves, use the word, and now we're clawing our way to try to get to heaven. The other side is completely opposite, where we recognize this. We're not of the world, but sent in is this. The idea is we don't start on earth as a heavenly home. We recognize that we are actually eternal beings created by God, having a consciousness and all these sort of things in heaven already, but now God is saying to us, I'm going to send you into the world to do something, to have a mission in which you are to accomplish. In that light, we can understand why Jesus prays what he does for his disciples. I've given them my word. I've given them, now they recognize everything that I have is from you, Father. Now keep them from the evil one. The idea that Jesus is what he's praying for his disciples is this. Recognizing, Lord, that they are not of this world, but that you sent them into the world, they now understand they can go into the world, complete the mission that you've given to them without worry, because when they look at my life, they realize everything that I have, Jesus, everything that I did, whether it's healing, whether it's providing, all these sort of things was given by you anyway. And so the same God that sent me, Jesus, into the world to die for the world is the same God that sent them into the world to go and make disciples of the world. Do you guys see the difference between one or the other? Am I making it obvious enough? Yes? No? Yes? Okay. So I feel like it's half and half. I'm going to try one more time, okay? So on one hand, there's this idea where in but not of is the starting place is earth. The starting place is we have this idea where we're created on earth and we belong here, but now we're Christians, we're trying to get to heaven. You guys get that? We're in this world, but we're not of it. And so everything that the Bible tells us and we're taught is that we're trying to get into heaven. The other side is we're actually heavenly beings first, sent into earth for the mission to bring others into heaven with us. And so instead of trying to get our way there, we belong there. That is our home. And so it changes the perspective in which we think about how to live our Christian lives. And maybe once I say the next part, it'll become more obvious, is this. You know what the difference between the two is, and maybe the best way I can contrast is with my life. Before I was Christian, I was doing everything I can to make it in this world, right? I mean, for some of us, before we were Christians, we were probably pretty not so nice people, right? I was a pretty arrogant person, right? I know many of us that before, I mean, especially, you know, if we were in finance, there's a lot of cheating, backstabbing, all that stuff going on. So you do everything that you can to get ahead. And so in one aspect, you're of this in this world, and you're doing everything that you can to live in this world, which includes the sin, all these sort of things, so you can, you know, gain wealth and all these sort of things. And now that you're Christian, you bring exactly the same thing, but now you're doing it in a Christian perspective. Instead of lying, cheating, and stealing, instead you're praying very hard, you're working really hard, and you're still asking for exactly the same thing. When you're in the world and not of the world, you were saying, God, I'm doing everything that I can to get ahead. And now when you're Christian, you're still doing everything that you get ahead, but all you've done is change the way in which you're doing that. But I think when we change the thinking is this, my question to us is this, if we were to really recognize that we are not of this world, shouldn't we also change the way and the things that we live for as well? Because as Christians, it's really easy for us to now think of all the things that we need that we used to have and say, okay, but now I can pray and still get ahead. I can maybe serve God and still acquire everything that I need in order to get these things. And so our heart is still on the earthly things instead of on the things that God has called us to do, which is the mission of this world. And what is our mission? It is to win disciples, to go and make disciples of the people that we meet, to show them about Christ. And so the idea but behind what Christ is praying for his disciples is this. Not only are we trying to get ourselves out of the world, no, that's not it. We change our perspective to a heavenly one, which is we're not trying to get to heaven. We're trying to bring other people to heaven. And on the way, we're no longer worrying about the things of this world. We're not worrying about how we're going to get ahead, how we're going to get enough, how we're going to do all these things. Because, you know, Matthew 6:33, right? Seek first the kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto us as well. And so that the whole perspective of we're not of the world but sent in is that as Christians, we need to stop worrying about the worldly things, right? It's not as Christians, now we switch from worrying about the worldly things from a worldly perspective and getting them in a worldly way to now getting them in a Christian way, right? It's no. We now forsake the things of the world, recognizing that we have a greater purpose in this world. Did I make myself understandable at all? I fear that you know, I've just been talking a lot, but everyone's sitting here going like, "What? I still don't get it." Right? You guys get that, right? Right? We're not of the world trying to get out and still worrying about the worldly things. We are made in heaven, created beings, sent into this world so that we can bring others with us. I think if we were to truly understand that perspective, a lot of the things that we worry about, we would just stop worrying about. Things like, money, things like a spouse, things like word to live. All these are now, I'm not trying to make light of situation. I recognize there's difficulty in all that we do, right, in a lot of areas of life. But if we were to really believe that it was God that commissioned us and sent us, then shouldn't we believe that the one who commissioned us and sent us also will make sure that we have everything we need to complete the mission that he's called us to? Right? The best thing I always think of is, you know, the Navy SEALs, right? They're always sent into some far-off place trying to rescue people, all these sort of things. Well, what do they get before they go? They get all the training, everything they need, all the weapons, all the, you know, they have a radio to contact, you know, with their carrier, wherever sent them, you know, if they need help, all these sort of things, and it comes, right? And sometimes there are delays, sometimes they run into problems, but they know that there is somebody backing them, right? And as Christians, we're exactly the same, right? But instead of a government and, you know, a corrupt, I probably shouldn't say that, but a government, right? We have a God who is king of the universe, creator of all, who sees our situation, who's omnipotent, who's able to provide all that we need in every circumstance in order to complete the mission he has called us to. And so that is why I think we've gotten it wrong, right? It's not that we're in this world trying to get ourselves out and worrying about everything in between, in the world but not of the world, but not of the world, sent in, having been prepared by God, having everything that we need to complete the mission that he's given to us. Amen? And so I'm going to ask Mon to come up. And so let's close our eyes. And one of my favorite things about the fast has been it always gives me a change in perspective. I think most years I'll go into the fast, and a lot of times I look to spend time with God, but I do have a list of things that I'm praying for, right? A lot of things that I'm praying for breakthrough for. And as I go through the fast from the first day all the way to the end, and even post-fast, I notice something that even in my heart begins to change. Is at the very beginning, I'm constantly praying for things that I need. Or I'm constantly praying for things in my list. And by the end of the fast, I recognize actually most of the time when I pray, I actually just go into times where I just sit. And I actually don't say very much at all. Now, I'm not trying to say that we shouldn't be praying for things that we need. But what I recognize is at the end of the fast, my perspective changes and I realize God's got my back. And throughout the fast, he's given me so much of his presence that the things that I worry about, I no longer worry about, and I just believe it's going to happen. And I find that by the end of the fast, instead of praying for my things, I say, Lord, change my life. God, where do you want me to go? How can I serve? What can I do to bring others with me? And my mind goes from being a self-centered, earth-centered, world-centered perspective to a God-centered, kingdom-centered perspective. And so since we've just ended the fast, let me ask us a question. What perspective do you take more so in your life when it comes to the kingdom of God? Are you in this world worried about everything that you need and being so distracted about the things of the world that you forget about the mission that God has called you to? Or do you spend most of your time recognizing, God, you've called me to a mission and I recognize that you will provide for me? And so as Mon leads us in a song, let's go before God. And if our hearts are in a place where we're more worried about ourselves, more worried about what God can give us, where he can take us, let's ask God to change our hearts. God, let me be more worried about your mission, recognizing that you will take care of me. Continue to pray. Let's really thank God. God, thank you for everything you've already provided. And then let's also pray in faith that God, you are going to provide everything that I need to complete whatever task you've asked me to do. Let's pray. Focus. Let's really pray for those that are suffering from cancer and cancer-related complications. Let's really pray and claim God's word that they'll be fully and completely healed. Let's pray for God's providence as well, that God will provide and supply all of their needs in this time. pray for those in our community in need of healing, but also salvation as well. Let's really pray that God will open their hearts, that they may know Him, and also that His healing hand will come over them as well. Suffering from non-cancer related issues. Let's really pray for God's healing and providence over them as well. Let's also pray for His wisdom and comfort and peace in this time. Those that are still looking for work, let's really pray that God covers them. Let's really pray for God to provide everything that they need, but also for His favor to fall on them as well. Just something about the resumes or interviews that, you know, companies just want to hire. And in this, at the same time, that they'll be using their time well in this time of waiting on the Lord. Let's pray. Focus. Let's pray for China. Let's pray for our Beijing family. Praise God, we had an amazing retreat. And so let's continue to lift up Pi Hunsu and Chloe. Let's also pray that they'll continue to have protection over them and whatnot, especially after such a big event. Let's pray against backlash. Let's pray for the Chong family and Matt and Nate's parents and E. Clark and the churches. Let's really pray that God will bless China and that they will become a God-fearing nation. Lift up the board and their families. Let's really pray that God will bless them and continue to grant His favor upon them. Let's pray for protection over them, especially over the kids and significant others. Let's pray for the relationships, their work, all things that pertain to them. Let's really pray for wisdom as well, that as they make decisions for the church, that they'll be prayerful and that they will hear from God the direction of this church. pray for our hospitality teams. Let's really pray that God will renew the joy of their salvation, that even as they serve, that they will be able to extend what God has given to them, you know, whether it's, you know, the love of God or the welcoming heart, whatever the case may be. Let's really pray for God's blessing over them, and that they may serve with hearts of service. Pray for our fellowships. Let's pray for our men's ministry and women's ministry and young adults as well. Let's really pray that God continues to move and that many men and women will be blessed and discipled through these groups and that we'll have a very strong church of those who love the Lord and who can be a great influence on others. Let's pray. Lift up our house churches. Let's pray that as they meet tonight, that God is going to meet with them. Let's pray for the leaders that they'll be refreshed before they even start their house church group. Let's pray that they're going to have such an amazing time meeting with Jesus tonight, that everyone who goes will just be floored and whatnot. So let's just pray. Father, we thank you, Lord, that you see us, God, and that you see our situation, Lord. Father, help us, God, to continue, Lord, just to grow in you and to mature in you, Lord, and to come into faith, Lord, to know that you have everything that we need, God, whether it's finances, Lord, whether it's companionship, Lord, or community, whatever the case may be. And help us, Lord, to continue to give more of ourselves to you. So, God, we thank you, Lord, so much for this church, God. We thank you, Lord, for all the opportunities, Lord, that we have, God, to serve it. And so, Lord, we pray that you'll continue growing this church, God. Help us, Lord, that as a body, Lord, to build into each other, Lord, and build into this church as well. And so, Father, I thank you for my friends that are here. I pray, Lord, for your blessing and anointing over them. I pray, God, for their workplaces, for their relationships, God, for all things, God, that they'll need to have to deal with today. We pray for many opportunities, Lord, for them to be able to complete their mission, Lord, that they'll be a great witness, Lord, to your love in their lives, Lord. And so, Father, we pray against backlash, Lord. And so cover them. We thank you, Lord. We love you, God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Enjoy your time of prayer, and we'll see you guys back tomorrow.